Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And you're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk twice weekly podcast that we do for needlework people.
Yeah. I met lots of needlework people this week.
Yeah, we get to talk about your little trip to the celebration of needlework. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. Yep.
Yep.
So tonight, join us tonight. Now, we've got a lineup here coming up of Wednesday night shows that, you don't want to miss any of them. So tonight, Krista West is going to be back with us again. But this time, if you know anything about Avlia Mediterranean Folk Embroidery, Krista designs embroidery and cross-stitch. Beautiful stuff. And we've talked about that numerous times. But she also has another business, I would guess at times bigger than Avlia, certainly equal to, where she designs, makes, sews, builds, embroiders, ecclesiastical garments and vestments and altar cloths and all that thing, primarily for the Greek Orthodox Church. And it's a worldwide business for her. And I have a sense that a lot of times it's the bigger of the two by far. But just gorgeous stuff. And we had talked about a couple weeks ago, she had posted a picture of a peacock design from an ecclesiastical thing. And that grew into comments about that grew into her doing this show. So she's going to be with us tonight to show us and talk about the meaning and history behind various motifs and designs in ecclesiastical. easy for you to say. garments and other things. So join us tonight to hear about that. She sent me a rack of pictures. I'm going to have to filter through them to get it down to what we can handle in an hour. But really looking forward. And she does talks. She does talks all over the place about this. So this is not something she had to. It's like she said, I just do that off the top of my head. Because she goes and talks to religious organizations about these things. So we're going to get to tap into that knowledge tonight. So that,
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yep. So that's tonight. Then next week, we go to Sydney, Australia with April. And the exhibit this month that is coming to an end is called Toward Abstraction, an Exhibition of Modern Quilts. And April was out the first 2 weeks of the month, and scheduling just made it so we couldn't do it until now. So, and if you follow the Embroiders Guild Galleries, Gallery 76 in Sydney, you've already seen some of the images of these quilts, and they're not just rectangular quilts with patterns. It's art. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to be there, and then one of the designers will be with us, so we'll get some insight from the designer as to what goes into these quilts and how they're built and so on and so forth. So fun from just an art, a needlework art perspective, but also if you have friends who are quilters and love quilting, definitely want to let them know about the show, because this is different kind of quilting, very, very art-oriented, and that's going to be fun. So
definitely.
We'll have that, and then next Wednesday, or the Wednesday after, that'll be June 2nd, Margaret Lee has an exhibit all of June on Chinese and Japanese embroidery. And I did a show with her probably a year and a half ago, maybe more. You can look that up, wetalkfiber.com. Just put in Margaret Lee about Japanese and Chinese embroidery. And what an amazing woman. Really fantastic in terms of what she knows and the work that she does is you'll just sit there with your jaw open. So she's going to have an exhibit, and she will be with us with April on the week of on June 2nd. Yeah, June 2nd, Wednesday, June 2nd. So Margaret will be with April as we tour her exhibit. So we'll get to hear from the designer about her work. And so 3 Wednesday nights in a row, we're going to have, starting tonight, we're going to have some amazing needlework art to look at, talk about. Bring your questions, folks. Don't be shy about questions. Tell others about these so that they can enjoy them. Jennifer and Beth will be be with me for these shows. So there's, you know, people to make sure you get your questions asked and answered. So join us for those. They're all at 7 o'clock Eastern, or all at 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Right.
I have to be careful.
You're getting confused.
Yep. All at 8 o'clock Eastern time on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. And if you subscribe there, if you subscribe to the channel, then you'll get the notification, so that you won't miss it. But, either way, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. If you just go to YouTube and look up Fiber Talk, you'll find it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So all of that, those are just the Wednesday shows. So it's just,
right.
Just the Wednesday show. So that, yeah, that's three in a row, that we have. And then Sunday's guest is Susan Hoekstra. Now, I did a show with Susan some time ago, but this time Susan is coming to us as president of the National Embroidery Teachers Association.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about that for a good portion of the show, and you think, well, I don't care about that. Well, you do. Even just as a regular stitcher, you care a lot about it because that is a tremendous resource. The website and the association, a tremendous resource for people who might do programs for your local chapter or your local store or people you might want to look up and take a class from them, an online class. It's a tremendous resource. So we get to talk to Susan about that. And then also Susan tapped into some judges and put together a list of tips for things that judges see all the time in needlework, basically flaws that they see all the time. And so will be some information on that in the show too. So
now that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. Like, cause a lot of times, you know, well, a lot of times, one time I put stuff in and I won all good ribbons and stuff, but it's like, you want, you know, what did you see that could be improved, or, you know,
right.
There was no feedback.
Oh, you gotta have
that.
At
my place. Yeah. I guess it just depends on your particular fair as
yeah.
to whether or not you
yeah.
get feedback.
Yeah, the judge. And sometimes I think whether it depends on whether the judge actually knows.
That's true.
You know,
or whether they're just like, oh, that one's pretty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we get a little help from Susan. In that regard, and I've tried a couple times. I want to get a judge on just to talk about those kinds of things, do a show.
Yeah.
But I have not had a couple, but just haven't been able to connect schedule-wise. But I think that would be a fascinating show just to hear what they see, good and bad, what they see when they judge things and how to correct it and how to avoid it and that kind of thing. So
yeah, that would be really interesting.
Yeah, I'll get someone sooner or later. It's just. A lot of these shows, it's not lack of willingness, it's just scheduling, you know.
Yeah.
Don't have time. So, okay, so that's Sunday, Susan Hoekstra, and then the Wednesday shows. And then, of course, we have all the things going on in terms of stitch-alongs and projects. We have the Marion Lang kit that you can get. Now, everything is wetalkfiber.com/, and then I'm just going to give you the extension so that you can go find it rather than, so I've been doing all these extensions, so it's easy. So you just know wetalkfiber.com and then slash whatever it is, and that'll take you to the page, whether it's at Needle in a Haystack, Sassy Jacks, or at the Fiber Talk website. So just make it easier. So slash Lang or slash Lang Kit, LANGKIT, will take you to Sassy Jacks where you can buy the Marion Lang chart and kits. And then we have slash MJF1861, and that's the Mary Jane Fry sampler that Amanda Rowe provided to us. And so MJF1861, and that's a free download. And then MJF1861 kit will take you to Sassy Jacks, where you can download the kit to go with that chart. And I've got another one from Amanda Rowe that will be free that I will put together. We just need to get through all these other things a little bit before I bring in yet another one, because the stack is kind of high right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hanging on to that one, and that's also beautiful. Then also the Botany Bay sampler. Now, that one I don't have an extension for, but you go to sassyjacksstitchery.com and just put in Botany Bay, And that is the that you'll come up with the kits there, chart and kits, and or you can go to the attic, and that was the sampler last month, sampler of the month last month, at Jean Lee had. So she has kits too. So whichever is your favorite place, or if you want to poke around and see what kits are put together and see if you like one over the other, either way. But those are both options, and that is that Botany Bay. That's a nice one. Then / Spring Hill takes you to Needle in a Haystack, and that will get you the Spring Hill kits that we're all working on, some of us more than others.
I need to get back to mine. I've been out of town and
right.
Yeah, you were flying. I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
In like a week.
So
I
that
gotta get back to it.
Yeah, that / Spring Hill. So, and you can still catch me. You can catch up to me. That's easy to do. And then also / Wing will take you to Sassy Jack's for Joanna Cabanoff's Take Wing sampler and kits. So all of those things in play. And that Take Wing, what do we say, $43 for linen and threads for the kit? You have the chart right. Is $17. So for $50, $60. Jeez, me and my math. $60, you can have kit, full kit, chart, linen, threads, the whole bit, and do that. That's a beautiful one, the Take Wing sampler. That's really great. So all those things in play, check them out. And join us for any or all of them, whatever your time allows. But all in play. Yep. And my stitching, my stitching has come to a complete halt.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, we're now at the point where in the next few days, even the stuff that I have here to work on when I have time, now that's going to have to get packed away. So I'm just going to have to be shut down. And just keep the stuff that I need to do shows, but we're at that point where this stuff has got to get put in boxes, and so because we're closing end of the month in St. Louis, and so we'll be moving shortly thereafter, and so got to get it. Get it together.
Coming up fast. I mean, it'll be here.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, fortunately, I mean, other than the stuff we use day to day, we're pretty well packed up. But even this, now I look at around this room and think, all right, I was just down to what I needed. And now even this is, it's a little bit more than I was planning on.
Oh, my.
So, but get moved and get into the new place and make up the new studio. And it's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
yep.
Definitely.
Yep. So you That'll and be you.
Great.
Go ahead.
I said, that'll be great.
Yeah. Well, in our last time you and I talked, we talked about ergonomics, and I'll tell you, you've had my wheels spinning about that. I'm going to, that had not entered my mind till you, mentioned it. And, now I'm looking at things and just in terms of that, how high are the surfaces, how adjustable are they, and so on and so forth. And Kim Young sent me, based on that conversation, sent me a link to a table that she owns, and her husband Everett bought one too, that are, it's Huffy? No. Anyway, a tool manufacturer from Home Depot.
Okay.
That is a woodblock tabletop with drawers and adjustable height.
Oh, wow.
And she said, so I'm going to get one of those because, after our discussion, I've been thinking about, all right, I'm going to put all these surfaces in, but how flexible are they?
Right.
And so now that's put my thinking in a different channel in terms of I need to have flexible surfaces because my main table obviously is not, I mean, that one can't be adjusted, but can I adjust other things to match it so I have continuous surface space when I need it? Or adjust it up when I want to stand up and do things. You know, you really got my wheel spinning on this. So
nice. Thinking.
Yep. So it's changed a little bit. It's the kind of, these kinds of things. Margaret and I have talked about this just in moving into the house in general. We have plans, but at some point you just need to live there a little bit. And Yeah, things start to gel. Yeah, I don't think you can come out with a plan, but then you need to be flexible at it. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that'll be fun though, setting it all up.
Oh man, an entire room. Oh man, it's gonna be great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up fast, like you said, faster than you think. Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. It'll be good. Gonna miss this place, but miss the town. And we've been here. Well, see, Marga's. We've been married. We'll be 43 years in August.
Wow.
So and I moved here from college. So that entire time, I've lived in the same. There are three towns. It's a river. A river runs through it, and there are three towns. And we've lived in two of the three, back and forth in our various iterations. But basically the same area. And Marga's lived in the area because she grew up in a town west of here, about 30 miles. So she's lived here her entire life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so a big move for me. This would be my third state, but a huge move for Marga because she is leaving the area she's known her entire life. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's there's a lot of adjustment here. She's excited about it, but I know there's some apprehension, and I feel for her because it's that's tough. That's tough.
Excited but nervous.
Yeah, exactly. So it's it's going to be different, but yeah, and part of it is just getting there and getting oriented, and then all right, now this room can be this, and yeah, we gotta work it out. So I don't know. We'll see. All right.
It'll be fine.
I've been anxious to get to this show because you spent last weekend at the Celebration of Needlework. Now, I've never gone to one of these events. The closest I've been have been a couple of events at Sassy Jack's. So I've never been to one of these events where all kinds of people sign up, go to a hotel, and have an event. And this Celebration of Needlework, now this is a pretty old event, right?
Yeah, it's been going for years and years, and I didn't look up the data to see how long, but it's been going for a long time.
And that's in Nashua, New Hampshire, so just down the road for you.
Yeah, like 2 hours away. It's not bad at all. And I went Wednesday night and came home Sunday.
Okay.
So it's like 5 days, and there was stuff Wednesday night. So.
Oh, my. So what's the format for this thing? Is it classes? Is it just stitching? I mean, is it a retreat
classes.
Thing? How is this put together?
Well, it's like a retreat. And so you go, and the Wednesday night was a meet and greet with the teachers. So you're, in the room. And because when we first got there, it was still masks.
Yeah.
And then Thursday night, they announced that if we were fully vaccinated and we didn't want to wear a mask, we didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the hotel. So I'm fully vaccinated, so I didn't wear mine. So it was like 50-50.
Yeah.
Half people did. And then the socially, so it started out with everybody being kind of like away from each other, and and then it ended up being just everybody's acting normal. It's like whatever.
Okay. Okay.
That was kind of nice, that we were able to just be more just normal life.
More human.
Yeah. And some people wore their masks, but everybody wasn't like staying real social distance or anything. It was more relaxed and normal. But like the first night, we all sat at our tables, and the teachers went up and just introduced themselves and talked about what they were going to teach. Cause some people hadn't signed up for all their classes yet. So if they still had room in the class, like they had kits left over. So they had like four spaces left.
Oh, okay.
You could sign up then.
Mm-hmm.
If you hadn't done it yet, and you're like, oh, and you see it in real life, and you're like, oh, I want to do it. It looks better than on the internet, you know?
Yep.
And so that's what that was Wednesday night. And then Thursday, there was classes. There were some lectures. I didn't sign up for the lectures because they were too close to or interfered with some of the classes I was taking.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure how much scheduling of myself to do.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to over, I've been to things where I've overscheduled and you feel frazzled and you're like, oh, I wish I didn't sign up for all this. Because you had to pay for it too. It wasn't just like free.
Mm-hmm.
It was pay for. And so I didn't do the lectures, which I'm kind of bummed because most of them were by Susan Greening Davis and she knows everything about everything. So
yeah,
she was awesome. But I did take a class with her
mm-hmm.
and it was awesome. So yeah, she's really good.
And what, then, what so, was that, before you go on, what was that class?
The Red Huswife or Hussif.
Oh, that Huswife? Yes.
Yeah.
Huswif, right?
Well, actually, Hussiff.
Oh, I haven't seen that spelling. Okay.
I know, me neither. That is a new spelling. I thought it had a W too, but guess not. And what it is it's a, so this thing was already sewn. It's like a sewing kit that folds up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, these little kits were sewn up by Moda. Moda is a fabric company. And okay. It's French General. French General is the line of fabric. And they have new stuff that comes out every year. But it's like under the name French General.
Okay.
And so you have the little kit that's already sewn together. And then she has a little piece that she designed that it's like a little sampler. It's got the alphabet. It's got some red black work and little things. And you stitch the piece and then sew it on to this blank area of the Hussif needlebook case mm-hmm. thing.
Okay.
And yeah. And it included a piece of vintage lace from Bruges in Belgium, where they make lace.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Sounds good to me.
I've been there. I've been there. They're famous for lace.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a fun little project then. So not something that's going to take you 6 months after the show then.
No. You could stitch. I mean, I've already got some of the top part stitched. And she was talking about something with Catherine of Aragon. And remember that Catherine sampler I'm doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how the pomegranate. So like part of this top border, this little top row and the bottom row that's like the black work but red work, and you know it's stitched and it's supposed to be the pomegranate, and I mm-hmm. guess pomegranates were a big thing, and I remember some of the stitching that I did that was the black work on that Catherine sampler had a similar ish kind of pomegranate border band, and this one too includes some where they pull a thread out and do the hem stitch.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah, so, and then of course in class, you know, she has us measure and then she has us start pulling out some, and I'm just pulling and pulling and pulling, and I'm going, and then she's like, make sure they match up at the corner, and I'm like, oh wait a minute. Oops. I almost got to the edge. I was just having a good time and went too far, so I had to you know, thread the thing on and weave it back.
Oh.
So, but you can't tell. I mean, you know, you just weave it back in. So, yeah, it was funny. I was like, oops, I went too far.
Hey, well, you learned how to fix it, so that's all right.
Yeah.
So she took the one class, and then I mm-hmm. interrupted your timeline there. So then what?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So then, okay, so that was the Susan class. I did that on Friday, I think. Was it set? No, it was Friday. Okay. I know, I'm trying to think of what happened on what day. So Thursday I took a class that was it's called a Nantucket pincushion. And we got to basket weave our own little basket.
Really?
So I did basket weaving. Yeah, it was taught by Janice Card. And you can actually, she sells baskets that she's made at buynantucketbaskets.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this place in Massachusetts called Dells of Nantucket. It's an actual store and they sell stuff, and they also have, it's kind of like a touristy store, but uh-huh. you can also buy basket weaving supplies there. And if you want to, like, cause what you do is you weave these baskets on this wooden mold. It's like a wooden shape. They uh-huh. call it a mold. And if you don't want to purchase your own molds, you can rent molds from them.
Oh.
And weave your basket and stuff, and then you send the mold back after you're done.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. So that was cool. I was like, oh. And it's like, that's like a 2-hour road trip. So I was like, oh, that might be a cool road trip thing, because my husband wants to get out that way.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so I did that. All I have left to do is finish. We put the rim on, and I have to finish putting the weaving around the rim.
Okay.
Like weaving the little loop-dees around the rim, and then glue the base on, and then you can either leave it as a little open basket, but I'm going to make it into a pin cushion. But I'm not sure if I'm going to stitch something and put it on there, or if I'm going to use some sort of piece of quilting fabric with a pretty motif that I like,
mm-hmm.
or if I'm going to use velvet. I don't Ooh. Know yet.
Okay.
Yeah, the one she had in the picture was like had burgundy velvet. It was really pretty. And then lots of fancy pins stuck in it, you know?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, so it's really cute. And I was like, well, that's fun basket weaving. And I did really well, too. I did good.
All right.
So that was really fun. I never would have taken a basket weaving class otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go.
It's a little like 2 by 3 inch basket, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Just enough to give you some experience mm-hmm. with it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was fun. And then Thursday night, we got to go shopping first before the general public.
Oh.
Yeah. And so Thursday night was shopping night. And what you do, you can become a member of Celebrations of Needlework.
Okay.
And it's a fee. What it gets you is it gets you, you get a pin, like a yearly pin. They do these pins. And pineapples. Pineapple is like their symbol,
mm-hmm.
the pineapple. So every year the pin has a pineapple in it somewhere. And some people, and they have these badge holders, these really cool badge holders that hang around your neck and you stick your name in. And everybody pins their pins to their badge holder. And some people have like 15 pins.
So you know the veterans right out of the gate. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. They've got all these pins and the badge holder is nice. It has a little zipper thing. You can put your credit card in there, so you don't have to carry your purse around.
Isn't that convenient to go shopping? Yeah. Isn't that just convenient?
Absolutely. And then you can put your room key in another little slot. And yeah, so it's, so that's really cool. So I had my badge holder and I had my little pin. I only had one on there. New. So yeah,
rookie.
You get like, yeah. So you get your little badge holder, and if you become a member, you get into the shopping mall for free. You don't have to pay an entry fee. And you get, like, every year, too, they have, like, a little project that's, like, the member project for that celebration year.
Okay.
For that show. Mm-hmm. And, like, this year, what it was is a tiny little horn book that was cut out like a laser wood cutout.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wood cut out with a laser cutter, and it's a horn book, and it has a pineapple shape on top. And then there's this little pineapple charm that you glue on. And then you go to Old Colonial Designs booth and you buy the little kit to do the stitching and all the finishing. It comes with the stitching and the finishing stuff. So okay. You get the wooden part for free, and then you do have to buy the kit. You know, mm-hmm. but it's not expensive, but it's super cute. And it's little. It's like 2 by 2 inches.
Okay.
It's tiny. And all these things are tiny.
Yeah.
And so then I bought last year's kit was this little wooden box that has some laser cutting, and there's a little pineapple pillow that you put inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cute.
So this shopping thing is like a trade show in a ballroom then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much, you know, they set up booths and different vendors come, and they didn't, I guess Karen Kluba usually comes.
Mm.
And everybody was like, yeah, her booth usually takes up like half the space. But when I went in 2019, I did go to the shopping, and I guess she couldn't make it that year, but usually I guess she's there.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't go this year. I know it didn't work out with her schedule, and you know, it was COVID and stuff.
Right.
But,
Well, yeah, just to show all of her charts, would take up a small room. So.
I still did buy a Rosewood Manor chart from another vendor.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I bought that Christmas quilts one.
Oh,
I've
yes.
I've been wanting that one forever, and I'm like, oh, I have to get that one.
Good choice and there, yes.
Mm-hmm. I saw Spring Hill in real life stitched.
There we go.
Yep, but it was stitched on like more of a khaki, tan-colored linen almost.
Hmm.
I kind of like it better on the white.
Yeah?
I have to say, yeah. It looks more springy.
Yeah.
It pops more.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we got to do the shopping first that night.
So, okay, and, so as a paid attendees then, you get to go mm-hmm. first so that then when the public comes in, they get what's yeah. left.
Pretty much. And some people, like, make a beeline. I guess there's these guys from New Jersey who come up that have, like, tons of fabric. So people make a beeline for them.
Oh.
I guess a lot of the same people always come. And everybody knows, so they know what they can get from certain places, and they, like, rush over and get it.
I see. Yeah. So, like, Black Friday for needleworkers, okay.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, so they had, like, half the, you know, so it wasn't that crowded, because there was only 100-ish people there. Mm-hmm. I guess normally there's, like, 200 or more.
Oh, my. Wow.
That attend, like, our stay at the hotel. Then you have the public that comes and pays on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is what I did in 2019. I was just like a public person, and I went up with a friend
mm-hmm.
and then paid an entry fee to get into the shopping mall.
Okay. And that's the only thing that you can get as public. That's you can get into the shopping, but the classes and everything else is for
you
people.
You can take... Well, you can sign up and take the classes, but if you are a member... And if you're a member and you sign up early online, you get a bit of a discount.
Okay.
Hmm. So it's a little bit cheaper.
Okay. So we got shopping, classes, lectures, and then did they just have regular time for stitching?
Oh, yeah. They had some tables out. And as the COVID restrictions got lifted, they put out more tables.
Oh, okay.
So there weren't as many tables, and we did have this one room that was set off that was like the Stitcher's Corner or mm-hmm. something, I think is what they call it, that you can go in and like people will set up their stuff and they'll come and go and they'll leave their stuff set up.
Oh, okay.
And nobody bothers it and everything. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So did you take stitching to do? I did.
I only took the Krista West, the Avlia thing, the Byzantine rondelle square that I'm stitching,
yes. mm-hmm.
because I don't need lighting. I don't have to follow the chart. It's on 28 count. It's easy to do and talk to people at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's all I took, because I've also heard other people talk about how they take like 1,000 things to stitch and they don't stitch at all.
Yeah.
So I was like, and then I knew I would be getting stuff from the classes.
Yeah.
So, you know,
so you need to have something to do no matter what.
Yeah, I had something real easy.
Yeah.
That I could do social stitching.
Yes.
So then, so then the other class I took the Christmas is Coming class by Barbara Jackson. And she has I guess her company is called TristanBrooks.com.
Okay.
And I looked at their website. They have a little bit of stitching and they have a lot of crewel work stuff. And she, I think, is doing a class with the Shining Needle Society, too.
Okay.
But what she did is this, have you seen those cute little trays that are, there's a stitching on the bottom and all the sides, and then there's ribbons on the side that ties up the sides?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she has this cute little tray with all this reindeer and a Christmas tree and people, and then these little scissor fob and a teeny weeny little pin thing and a teeny weeny little needle book. I mean, tiny.
Uh-huh.
Tiny. And it comes with, like, I did a little bit of stitching. I've got part of the tree done. Comes with all this linen. It comes with the board that you sandwich in between.
Oh, for the base?
The hard board, yeah. And it comes with the backing fabric, comes with the ribbons, it comes with the cute little scissors. It comes with everything.
Mm.
And so that was Saturday morning.
Okay.
That's cute.
So you got so you did three classes with sounds like three great little pieces to do that aren't going to take forever.
Yeah. Well, this Christmas is coming one might take a bit.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a lot of stitching.
Okay.
I'll have to send you pictures of all this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have done like a visual show for all this business. So then Saturday night was the it's a dinner and it's a charity auction for breast cancer.
Oh, okay.
And Susan hosts that, and so and you do pay for it as well. It's like a paid attending thing. And every year too, somebody the Purple Thread is the name of the store or the design company. And they had a booth there too. And every year they design a strawberry and they give it to you at the dinner. You get this little tiny kit and it's for this little strawberry.
Mm.
So we have this cute little strawberry that we got. And then also Caroline Selden, I guess she's in England. She sent over a little kit that has, you stitch a little rose on the front, and then on the back, there's this quilt fabric that has Quilt for the Cure, and it has like the breast cancer bow ribbon. And so she fussy cut it out, so you get the Quilt for the Cure for the backing of this little thing. For on the back, you can center it perfectly, and then on the front, you stitch a little rose, and then you can make it into an ornament, scissor fob, a necklace. I mean, you know, it's just a little doodad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a little doodad that's a little bit bigger than a quarter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it comes with all the stuff.
Just playing with it. Yeah, okay.
So you get little freebies here and there.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's a kind of thing where you're walking out, it sounds like, with a bag full of little projects to do.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're
cute little stuff.
Yeah, if you're looking at it from a pure economic, what do I get for my entry fee? You're walking away with some stuff. So that's good. Yeah.
Cute little stuff.
But then the overall show, then you're meeting people and talking stitching with whomever you want then.
Yeah, I went by myself, and me and like three or four other people were new. They had us at the dinner, you know, raise your hand if this is your first time. And there was like hardly any of us.
That's when I crawl under the table right there. Oh, man.
No, so everybody else, they've all known each other and been going to this thing for years.
Yeah.
Like years and years. So what you have to do is you have to be brave and you have to go up and introduce yourself to people and say that you're there alone. Hi, I'm Jennifer. I came by myself. Can I sit with you? And they usually say yes. And then sometimes they include you in their group discussion. And then sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
So if they don't, you're like, okay, I struck out with this group. I'll go find another group. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got to be brave. And, you know, I'm not always good at, you may think I'm very good at being brave, but I'm not. Sometimes I have to go back to my room, take an hour, take a break, take a breather, center myself, and go back at it, you know?
Oh, I know. I know. See, I'm just like that. I really struggle in situations like that. I struggle to fit in, and if my first couple of attempts aren't getting anywhere, I'll just kind of be in the corner, and then, you know, events like that, a lot of times, I'm out of here. I can't.
Oh.
I struggle with that. That's really hard.
I paid for stuff, so I stayed. But I did meet some really nice people. There's a girl. It's so funny. I was in this one class, and this girl sitting across from me, girl, they're all my age. You know, she's like a year older than me. But, you know, we're girls. So
is that how that works? Okay.
Yeah, you know, we're still the girl.
Okay.
So she's like, oh, you're Jennifer. Where are you from? And I said, I'm from Hamden. She's like, what? She goes, I'm rooming with Jennifer from Hamden. And I'm like, what? So this girl that she came up with, who's like my age, is named Jennifer. She lives in Hamden, and she lives like four blocks away from me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So I met a new stitchy friend who lives really close to me.
Wow.
She's really nice and sweet, and her friends. So I hung out mostly with her and her friends, and they were all really nice. And they're all from, like, you know, Massachusetts and New Hampshire, Maine. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's the one part of those events that makes me not go to a lot of them, especially by myself. Is just, yeah.
I've always gone. I've gone to the both two Stitches, Stitches knitting retreats. Uh-huh. I've gone to two of those by myself, but those things are huge. They have like 500-600 people attend.
Oh, so you can just get lost in that. Yeah,
it's real easy to just find, and they're, you know, knitters are very outgoing. So it's real easy to just pop up to somebody and be like, hi, I'm here by myself. They're like, oh, sit with us, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then I've gone to the Webbs knitting retreats. I've gone to two by myself. But then since I went to one by myself, when I went to the second one, I knew some people from before.
Right,
like,
right.
Hey.
Yeah.
But you have to be, you have to put on your brave face. And if you strike out, you have to go and
suck it up and do it again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I strike out. I don't always, people don't always like me, and that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, and events like that too, your first time, a lot of it's just kind of getting a sense of what goes on and how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I had no clue. I'm like, everybody knows. I'm like, okay, so what's going on now? Because I don't know what's going on. And so they had to explain to me, oh, this happens and that happens. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, because I'm new and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you just have to tell people. You have to be vocal and outspoken. If you hide in the corner, you're not going to have any fun. You're just not. I mean.
Because that's me.
Well, got to get over yourself and get out there. Put on your big boy pants.
Oh, man.
March up to people and say hi. Yeah.
Hard to do. Hard to do. Yeah.
No, I know. I have social anxiety. Yep. And you may not know it, but I have social anxiety and I can get pretty freaked out. But then I have to take a break, recover myself, and go back at it.
Go try again. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I'm writing this down.
Yeah. So everybody who's nervous and you're very introverted, like I'm an extroverted introvert. It's like I can get out there and perform and dance and be in front of people, woo, but then I have to go and I have to have my quiet time so that I can recover myself and get energy back so I could go out and be personable again. Otherwise, I'm just going to be all cranky and,
okay,
you know.
Yeah. I haven't analyzed myself that much. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know.
I don't know what I am, but I know that situations like that make me I struggle. Yep.
Yeah.
So overall, a really good show then. Really good event.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And I'll definitely be interested. And even the people who go most of the time, they said it was a little quieter and a little more subdued. I'm like, oh, so it tends to be a little more rowdy than this? They're like, yeah. They're like, everybody's just a little more quiet this year. And I think it's just COVID, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So
well, it's just interesting to hear, because as the restrictions get lifted and people get vaccinated and are more comfortable, I think we'll start seeing the floss tube retreats. And then, of course, there's a whole world of events like the one you attended that people will start putting back on the map. And, I mean, there's a ton of them. I mean, you could probably, if you had the money and time, probably go to something just about every week.
And, oh, I know. Anymore. There's like other ones that I'm like, I could go to that and that, but it's like, I don't have all the money. This one, I didn't have to pay for plane fare.
Right. That's a difference maker.
I just got to drive. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a difference maker. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one. Everything else I'd have to fly to.
Yeah. So that, it's going to come back and people are going to, because they're fun. I mean, people, you know, everybody I've ever talked to, you know, is how much fun they have. And
everybody was thrilled. I mean, you know, when we first got there, it was still you have to wear your mask, you have to social distance, and everybody was still just thrilled to be out of their house. You know, they're just like, oh my God, I'm just so happy to not be in my house, to get away from my husband. It's driving me crazy. You know,
ouch, that hurts. Get away from my husband. Yeah, that's painful.
Not me. Mine's good, but
I appreciate I appreciate that. I mean, especially if you have kids, like, get me out of here. Just Yeah.
And everybody's stuck with their kids and maybe their older kids and stuff like that. So yeah, everybody was really happy to get out and about. And then when we didn't have to wear the mask, everybody was real happy about that.
Right.
And those who wanted to wear it did. Some people, you know, they hadn't passed their 2 weeks of vaccination. Some people only had one shot.
Yeah.
So they were still waiting on the, you know.
Yeah, you kind of have to gauge what's best for you. Yeah.
And even within groups, some people would be wearing their mask and some people wouldn't. You'd have friends walking around and one had the mask on and one didn't. It, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Mark and I have had that discussion. You know, do we just chuck the masks? And we've decided, no, we have to still be careful. You can't, it's not worth the risk. It just isn't worth it.
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, how comfortable you feel. I always carried one with me.
Yeah.
So,
to me, that's going to be the turning point there when I don't feel like I have to have one with me.
Right. Just in case.
Just in case. When the just in case goes away. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just in case other people are nervous or just in case somebody's coughing and you get nervous or.
Yep. Yeah. Because outdoors doesn't bother me a lick. And it really hasn't, as long as you, you know, even in the worst of it, as long as you stay a distance away. But it's inside, and you gotta make the judgment call there. And
people were still very respectful of, they didn't, you know how normally people will crowd
in
and look, they kept, you know, maybe a foot, 2 feet of distance, or they would just wait for somebody to walk it by. It was spaced out, but not like 6 feet, you know, stay away from me. But everybody was very respectful and very polite and kept their distance and
And I wonder how that's going to last, how that's going to work. Like, you know, the standard shaking of hands or getting very close. I wonder if we're always now going to have that 1 or 2 foot distance that we keep no matter what. Are we always going to shake hands or are we not going to do that so much? I don't know.
I don't know about the hands thing because hands, you know.
Yeah, hands. I know. Yeah.
I would rather hug somebody than shake hands.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yep. I think so.
would. I wash my hands a lot. Even before this, I was a hand washer.
Yeah, I've always been. Yeah, but yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, hug over a handshake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really would rather.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like it was a great time then. So back for pin number 2 next year?
For sure. Yep, yeah. I'm going to go. Now, I don't know if I'm going to stay the whole 5 days, like the whole long stretch.
Yeah.
Or if I'm going to maybe be like, okay, I definitely want to go to the Saturday night dinner event. And it depends on what classes they have, what I want to take. This time, you know, I was like, I'm going for the whole event. I'm going to take something every day, but not overschedule myself to death.
Yeah.
But now that I've been, you know, and I kind of know what it, because too, like the knitting retreats I've gone on, knitting can be very intense and tiring. You know, it's different than stitching, especially when you're in class and you're knitting away and it's difficult and complicated, where stitching for me isn't difficult and complicated because knitting is fussy.
Is it? See, I don't do the knitting thing, so I have no clue.
Yeah. You can get worn out in the knitting class, and you need to go rest, you know?
I see.
Yeah. Stitching class does not wear me out. It's all good.
Holy smokes. Look at the time. Oh, well.
What? Oh, have we been going a long time?
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. Oh. So talk to me about, you took just the one thing to stitch, so... You know, because that's the other thing when people travel, you know, what do you haul? So what was your stitching traveling kit like?
Yep. I just took the Krista West Evlia Byzantine Rondelle square that I've been working on. That pillow with the gold. That's all I took for like a stitching project.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, you know, it's easy. I don't have to follow the chart really. And I don't need special lighting or magnifier, and I can sit and stitch and chat with people and not be like, oh, I have to go to the room and rip all that out now.
Yeah.
You know?
So it was just basically a little bag with the linen threads, hoop, needles, scissors.
Actually, so what I took, which everybody, it was a big hit. I have a sewing machine case because I also used to go to, I used to take my sewing machine to the quilt shop and do sewing at the quilt store, right? So I've got one of those roller cases that you put your sewing machine in that has zippers and pouches and all that business. So I took the sewing machine out and I packed all my stitching stuff in there.
Oh.
I packed in my little footstool. So in case the chairs were too tall and my legs didn't reach, so my back didn't hurt, I had a footstool. I had three different kinds of magnifiers with light.
Mm-hmm.
I bought that halo bolt thing you told me about. I bought that, took it. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
and
that's
there was
great,
a couple
yeah.
other people. A couple people had one, and then other people were like, "What is that?" And you know, they're writing it down and stuff. And
yeah, for people who are wondering, the halo, H-A-L-O, halo bolt. It's a battery.
Yeah, 58830 or something like that.
Something like that.
I have it written down right here. Where is it? That's not it. Oh, there it is. Yeah, 58830.
Yep, Halo Bolt. 58830.
It was $100 on Amazon.
$100.
$100. Yep, on Amazon. And I got the rose gold color.
Because you can.
I got pink. You know, because I like pink.
Because there's two USB ports.
Uh huh. And there's a plug.
A regular three-prong receptacle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you can jump your car.
Right.
And it comes with a little bag with the little pluggies to hook up onto your car to jump it.
Yep. Yeah. And it works.
And other accessories and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's if you're going to events like this, the Halo Bolt battery, that's the one to have. Because a little LED lamp plugged into that thing go all day long. Yeah.
Yep. It was great.
Yeah.
And I did. I used my, isn't it the Halo lamp?
I think you're right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I put it away.
Yeah.
Daylight. It's the daylight.
Daylight. Okay.
That little daylight lamp that's, it's rechargeable now.
Mm-hmm.
So, it has a little USB plug. But you can, like, use it without any plug. You can charge it and use it.
Yeah.
I have one of those. So I took that, and I took two other magnifiers as well. Like, I didn't know what I needed, so I just took everything.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I asked what you took, because that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And then you haul much more stuff, and you go, why did I take all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know. And
yeah, like, I took my little my little magnifier that props up on your chest that goes around your neck.
Yeah.
Because I do use that for my, if I'm sitting at the sofa, if I'm not at my stand with my stand-up light magnifier, but I'm sitting down on the sofa or something, that's what I use for my over one or my small count stuff.
Yeah.
So I took that and I did use it a little bit. No, I didn't. I used the other one. Yeah, but then I also took, you know, I have that one that clamps on. It has a clampy.
Yeah.
Clamps onto the table. I took that one as well because I didn't know. I've never really used that daylight one. So I didn't know how it would work because I've not used it. I just bought it to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew eventually I was going to something.
So yeah, eventually,
I wanted to be prepared.
Yeah.
So I had it, and that's what I used most.
Okay.
I didn't use the other two things.
So it ended up being a good purchase for that then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
But that's a good idea
then,
if you've got a little rollerboard bag like that.
Everybody was like, that is awesome. Because they're all lugging everything around on their shoulder, big old bag, and it's heavy. And, you know. So, yeah, I had my roller bag, and I was able to put my carrots in there for my snack and water bottle.
And
my pin cushion with some pins and needles. And I took, you know, my seam ripper just in case and a couple pairs of scissors.
Yeah.
And it had plenty of room. And my sweater, because, you know, some rooms are hot, some rooms are cold.
There, you hit it right there. That is one thing that if you go to events like that, make sure you have a sweater or a sweatshirt or a heavy shirt you can put over something.
Absolutely.
Oh man, they make them so cold. I remember I was at an aquarium annual convention one year, And I got so chilled, I was starting to get sick. You know how you just get, you cannot get warm? And I went to the gift shop and paid a ridiculous amount of money for a zip-up hoodie sweatshirt just so I could sit in those rooms because it was so stinking cold.
Yeah. And
yeah, you got it. That is like item number one, even before needles. Make sure you have something you can put on because, oh, geez, it gets... And it's hard, and after a while, it just wears you down because you just can't get warm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I fall asleep. If I'm freezing cold like that, I start to fall asleep,
That's what it does to you?
It's, it's bad. But and you tense up, and your shoulders tense up, and,
And you get that chill in your body, and it will not go away, and, boy, that's one right there.
I had that chill in my body for 5 years in the Netherlands. That place is cold. Could not get warm living there, I'm telling you.
But no, that's that is one thing. Boy, make sure you have something.
And I had my sweater because I wore a t-shirt. Yep. Some rooms, some areas of the hotel were kind of hot. Mm-hmm. And then there was this one room that was like freezing. And everybody was like, if you're going to that room, make sure you have your sweater because it's cold in there.
Yep. Well, and that's just it. You don't know. And it could be the middle of summer, 95 degrees out. And you think, I don't need anything like that. Yeah, you do. No. Yeah, you do.
You're inside, and you stay inside most of the time.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to the knitting retreats at the convention center, the Connecticut Convention Center, I didn't see outside for 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, you're inside.
Yep.
And you need to dress like it's fall with layers. Yeah. Pants, a t-shirt, and a sweater.
Yep, exactly. So, it's it's a real factor, and even I do that. I even do that anymore. I keep something like that in the car because if we go to a restaurant, a lot of times the restaurants are they're just so stinking cold you can't enjoy your dinner. And so I'll do that. Yeah, I do that anymore, and I'm sure people think, because you're getting old. No, it's just stinking cold.
There are some where if you're below the wrong vent, you're freezing.
Yeah. So so there's our tip: a halo bolt.
Yep.
A roller bag.
A sweater.
And a sweater.
And your sweater.
Okay. There's our kit.
Your sweater. Yep.
And the most important part: the sweater. Yes.
Yeah, because all of the kits that I got, when I was in the classes, they all included a needle.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't have to pull out and use my own.
Yeah.
So they all included a needle.
How many times have people posted where they went on a trip, had all their stuff, and forgot the needles? Yeah.
Oh.
And I've read where women will keep 2 or 3 needles in their purse at all times.
Oh, wow.
Just so that if they forget, they have something. Yes.
I do in my purse. I have a little, those tiny pairs of scissors that have that little cap on.
Yeah.
They're usually the neon colors. Yep. I have those in my purse. And I do have a little tube that has needles in it for knitting, for weaving, knitting.
Okay.
Because sometimes I'll stick a sock in my purse to knit because it's small, and it'll fit.
Right. So you're armed and dangerous.
I do still knit socks. I've never, ever stitched anywhere but my house before.
Oh.
This was the first time I had ever done any stitching that wasn't either in my house or my mom's house.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, I've done other things in public before, knitting and crochet and whatnot, but not stitching.
Yeah. That's interesting. So this was truly a rookie experience for
me. Yeah, so that was new for me, too. I did all kinds of new stuff.
Yeah, well, it's all right. Next year you'll get more out of it.
Yeah, I'll know a little bit more, and I'll know some people, and
Yep. So. Very cool. All right, so there you have it, folks. There you have it, right there. First-hand experience.
Fun.
Go to an event. You'll enjoy it.
I'll have to take pictures. I'll have to sit down and set all this up and take pictures. I was going through everything this afternoon earlier. I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get myself focused so I know what the heck I'm going to say, And my nice organized craft room has exploded.
Uh-oh.
Exploded. Because I bought 4 charts. Other than things that came as kits, I bought 4 charts.
Uh-huh.
That was very good.
That's high praise right there. That's good restraint. Yeah. Yep.
Now, I did buy, there's this one booth that has all of those cut boxes the laser cut boxes that are made out of wood. Mm-hmm. Joseph's Workshop is the name of the company.
Okay.
And I did buy like a cut box and then a pattern, a stitched pattern that is meant to, you know, you stitch it and put it on top of the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, oh, they had like really nice, those little cut needle minders, you know? I bought some little, because they're wood ones, and they have those really good magnets that are really strong, the rare earth magnets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so lightweight, they don't make your linen sag. Because that's one reason I don't use needle minders, except for I have needle minders on my needlepoint projects. But on my cross-stitch ones, I usually don't, because they're heavy and they make the linen sag.
Oh, man, and there's nothing worse than sagging linen. I'm just here to tell
you.
Yeah, nothing worse.
I don't like that. So these ones are like super duper duper light. Like it's like there's nothing on your linen. So I bought three needle minders.
Because, yeah. Okay. So I'm starting to get a picture that you say you had restraint, but not so much. Not so much.
So I didn't even tell you about my favorite booth yet.
And
Old
that was
Colonial Designs.
What was it? Right over that. What was it?
Oh, Old Colonial Designs is my favorite booth. And they have, so when I went there in 2019, this booth, everything is just so, they have like lots of primitive stuff, but they even have like normal, like new charts that you know, but they're stitched on like the awesome fabric. And it's usually over like 40 count or 36 count. So it's all small with one thread and it is perfection. And that's the first place that I had ever seen any stitching below 32 count. Like, I didn't know that 40 count and over one and all that even existed 2 years ago. I had no clue. That booth blew me away. And one of their designs was the first thing I ever bought that I stitched. I think this is a 32 count linen, and it's the America Home of the Brave pattern, and it has over one. And it's a one thread stitching cross stitch with one thread, and it has satin stitches and it has a little charm. And I stitched this last year, right after, not last year, 2 years ago, right after I got home from the needlework thing.
Mm-hmm.
I came home and I immediately started that night. I was like, I have to do this over one. Cause I had never seen it before. And it's all finished. It needs to be made into a pillow or something, but I'll have to send you a picture of that too.
Okay.
But that is my favorite booth. I mean, I can just stand there, and they have unique stuff. Like, I bought this little kit. It's this little wooden round box that you can put, like, spools in, or you could even use it as an ort box. And it has, I'd say it's maybe 2 inches, 2.5 inches in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this little picture of a bird, a little bird that you stitch and put it on top of the box. And then you can stain the box. They said in the thing that they use shoe polish to stain the box.
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's cool.
That's different.
So I like to buy, like, I can buy normal kits from anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So I went here and I focused on buying things that were very unique that I don't see anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it sounds like you found them.
I did. Like, yeah. So that's the stuff I bought. And I did buy four normal, like, charts that you can get pretty much anywhere. But
four normal charts. Okay.
Yeah. You know. But then everything else I bought was special.
Great time. Great time. Good for you.
Yeah.
You win. Yeah.
Yay. It was fun.
Yep. All right.
I'll go next year for sure.
All right. Okay. We got to stop now. We really got to stop.
I could just keep talking.
We got to stop. All right. Join us tonight with Krista West. We're going to look at ecclesiastical embroidery motifs, learn some history, learn some meaning of these things. 8 o'clock Eastern time. And Sunday will be Susan Hoekstra. Thanks for listening.
Bye.